Balzer and Bray and Harper Audio presents The Bird and the Blade by Megan Bannon, performed by Emily Wu Zeller. Prologue. The City of Sarai, Kipchak Khanate, Autumn 1280. The first time I dream of my brother's ghost is on the night I meet Halaf. In the dream, I'm sitting at a lacquered desk in the women's quarters practicing calligraphy when someone pulls aside the curtain. I look up from my work to find Wei Ji standing at the door. He still wears his battle armor, its hardened leather plates smeared with blood. His head is half severed from his body, a downward stroke that leaves a pulpy chasm running from his shoulder to his heart. I drop the paintbrush in shock. Ink drips and bleeds over the paper as Wei Ji steps across the threshold. The curtain swings shut behind him. He reaches for me with skeletal hands.
I'm hungry, Qinghua.
He rasps, his voice hardly a breath.
Feed me.
I wake in the slave's good of Timur Khan's tent city, where I lie on a thin mat, sweating fear and revulsion. My brother's words haunt me in the darkness, like the phantom lights burned into one's eyes after fireworks have burst.
Feed me.
I'm a slave. It's not like I keep a stash of food under my mat. The only way I can honor Wei Ji now is to steal from the Mongol stores. If I get caught, I could be killed. And then who will feed my brother's spirit? We'll both haunt the earth forever. The pendant I wear under my shirt weighs uncomfortably against my breastbone as I tiptoe over the other slaves, through the door, and out into the open air. Overhead, the stars glint like ice crystals in the frigid night. I snake my hands up inside the long sleeves of my dale to keep them warm as I creep between the white felt girders that glow like evenly spaced moons across the steppe. Sarai is a strange mobile city, city being pretty loose with the language, that moves up and down the Volga River depending on the time of year, so the food stores are kept on large covered carts. I head for one full of peasant fare for the servants, barley, cabbage, fruit. And that's just as well as far as I'm concerned. The Mongols can keep their nasty cheese curds to themselves. There's a snoring guard posted outside with the skin of the fermented mare's milk they call kumis at his feet. I'm certain my pounding heart will wake the man as I sneak by him, but he wheezes through sleep-slackened lips without pause. What little light there is disappears altogether as I climb over the huge wheels and into the cart like a monkey. I feel my way through the sacks from memory, even though I arrived here only 8 weeks ago. And what have I done in those 2 months? I've scrubbed plates with sand and cooked horse flesh and served food and fetched supplies from the carts. Basically, I've done nothing. It's pathetic. I'm pathetic.
Feed me.
My brother's nightmare voice echoes in my mind. My grief for him, dulled by 2 years of loss, sharpens to a point as I think of the pathetic ghost I saw in my dream. I reach for one of the baskets where the apples are stored. I've only tasted apples a couple of times since my arrival, but I think Wei Ji might like them. Suddenly, the cart trembles beneath my feet, and I hear someone climb up the back. Panicked, I squint my eyes and look for a place to hide. But the cart is crammed with bags and supplies, and there's no time to conceal myself. I'm sorry, I tell Wei Ji. My failure is cold as the hint of winter in the air. A stranger enters the cart. He's not the guard, but a young man I've never seen before holding an oil lamp. He cocks his head to the side, taking me in, noticing my guilty hand on the apples. I stare back at him, mute. I'm as good as dead. Hello, he says. He takes a step closer, holding the lamp out to see me better, and now I can see him better too. A typical Kipchak Mongol wearing a plain wool dale belted with red silk. His face and hands are scrubbed clean, but his clothes are dusty, as if he's been on the road.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?